The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, welcome back to Smash Pod. This is part two. If you want to hear part one, why not go back and listen to that? In the meantime, here's part two. I hope you enjoy. I really do.
Hello. Larry, it's Tim's.
Yeah?
Your chimp's dead.
What?
It tried to escape.
When?
But yeah, she knows,
isn't it? Not enough of science.
Yeah, yeah. And Jeffrey Lewis, meanwhile, says to Jake, ah, she's a horror. She'll fuck anything. And Job's like... And then he pushes Jeffrey Lewis, and then Job says, you can't do that.
Just in fact, he doesn't say that. He goes, she loves... He doesn't call her a whore. He's just like, there's a girl who loves a shag. Right? He's being quite sex positive. And then Jake goes, you don't call her a whore. And he says, well... And then Jeffrey goes, well, whores do it for money. She does it because she enjoys it. Mm. He hasn't said anything wrong there. Mm. And then Jake goes to punch him in the face. And because he's intelligent now, Job decks him.
Mm. Mm. Well, no, he decks Job.
Oh, that's right. He decks Job at this point.
And Job looks up at him like evil eyes. Like you think, oh, no, he's going to make his head blow up. But then it cuts.
Yeah.
So Pierce takes Job to the lab. And they both get in their full cyber VR suits.
Which, again, is only monkey size. Yeah. Right? How have they got these?
They are stretchy, I'll give them that. But
They are stretchy, but they go, we're not doing human testing. How come you've got a bunch of human suits there?
probably because monkeys have got longer arms, so when you put them on, it probably evens out.
Yeah. I got the note where it says, Pierce says, we've got some of the most advanced computer equipment in the world as he stood on the set of the Krypton Factor, essentially. He has got strong Krypton Factor vibes, this.
And everybody does something on the computer by going... Click, click, click on the keys. Mm. It's always three taps. It's like, come on, guys. Mice exist. I had a computer in about 1989, 1990. My dad had one, and it came with a mouse. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why are you just doing three keystrokes?
They couldn't use mice because they couldn't fit to the suits.
Mm. It's true. Mm. Also, all the mice they had, they tried to turn them into army soldiers.
Military mice.
With little Robocop hats on.
Lots of little mice with little paper clips going, I don't know what the fuck they're supposed to do with these, because I can get out through this cage easy. I'm a fucking mouse.
And they employed one dwarf security guard to look after them. And they shot him.
That's a metaphor for life.
It is. Mm. One day you're the mouse, the next day you're the security guard. So then Job's intelligence is successfully enhanced, and also we find out that he's got telepathy.
Yeah, that's a bit later, isn't it? Or...
Well, no, he goes to the sexy lady's house.
That's right, yeah.
And he can hear her thinking about him.
And he gives her one.
And Jeffrey Lewis turns into a carry-on character. He's like, whoa, what are you waiting for? Go on, give her one, lad, go on. You don't get many of them for the pound, bloody hell.
This is a fairly sinister scene.
Horrible.
Because, he can fix a lawnmower, but he's never kissed a girl before. She's trying to teach him how to kiss a girl, and it's a bit creepy.
Yeah, and Pierce just specified he learned Latin in 2 hours. So we can do that. Yeah. But he can't figure out how a snog works. All right, mate.
Greg, he just didn't show any porn, which it seems unlikely.
Seems unlikely, yeah.
And
given what that machine can be used
for. He learned Latin in 2 hours and he whipped through my stack of razzles.
It took him 2 hours to master to Latin, and he read 480 pop-ups in 5 seconds. He knows where all the housewives are in this area.
Yeah. Hot singles.
I bet that's what he's got after he's with this lady. She kisses him, and then they have sex. And it is a bit strange.
It is, yeah.
It's a bit unerring, her going...
It feels at some point she got... Mate, I'm just going to ask this for legal reasons. Mm. Are you all right? Because you've got a real... Dunce Edge right now.
Dunce Edge.
It's just that when you came, you asked if you could have some milk. Yeah. And then you asked what time Wizardora was on. And I don't even know what that is.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't a euphemism.
And then you said you had to go because you wanted a gig.
And then you asked me which is my favourite, Danger Mouse or Scooby-Doo. I was really... It's not the kind of pillow talk I'm used to.
And honestly, I don't really have much Chris here. Song my head for days now.
I mean, I know you heard what I said, but you started calling it Chris Rear Entry.
You said you wanted to come home for Christmas. I don't know what that means either. Because this one, I don't know about you, but this is the road to hell.
But you sure did drive it home. So his boss wants it. His boss now says, that's brilliant. Pierce's boss. Now we take it to Washington. Pierce is like, no, I think we still need to iron out a few things, i.e. him being slowly turning into the psychopath and me not noticing.
Yeah. Mm.
So meanwhile, the director, bald man, he swaps Angelo's medications with the monkey stuff.
Yeah, the aggression stuff. Mm. The ones Pierce is using are bright blue. His new ones are bright red. Mm. Pierce, the scientist, just, it's probably fine.
What happens is he, you see, because it's a close-up, you see him take away the, what's it, nootropic medicine?
Yeah.
He takes that away, and then the next shot, you see him just put a six-pack of Stella in.
I can see that.
And an England shirt.
Injected straight into his bloodstream.
So then, meanwhile, Joe brings this sexy lady, Marnie, her name is. He says, come in, we're going to do something amazing. And he brings her in, and they have VR cyber sex.
Hang on. Also, how this is a very high security place. Mm. He can't just bring a bird in. He goes, don't mind you. It's presumably a monkey on reception.
Maybe after that, what happened? As long as it's not a chimp, we're all right. Four foot tall, not wearing a helmet.
Can we talk about when he does have cyber sex with her? He turns into a giant horny frog.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's what I've got written down.
Why has he done that?
There's a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense, yeah? Mm. So they're flying around, and first of all, she's having a good time. Oh, the other thing, she's getting quite orgasmy. Now, we see them, the thing is, we see them strapped into that circle thing. Not only have they not got anything on their groin, thank God, right? Their legs are akimbo, right? So it's not like you're getting this feeling of flying or anything. You've got the feeling of being, of having your, well... Having your quat out. Mm. And it's just, I don't know why it doesn't feel like anything. It's like your legs are mobile. All you're doing is spinning around. What's the point of spinning around?
Well, also, the thing is, there's no way VR sex in this would be better than actual sex. I mean, it's not a step up. This is a really weird diversion.
They try to have sex.
Mm.
Go on.
Yeah, but you can't.
Well, I was going to mention, I missed a scene. I missed the scene where he went with his child mate to the cafe and then he had his, VHS with the tuner's gone wrong on his VHS, the tracking, and he starts having a bit of a meltdown, and then he can really hear everybody's thoughts.
Oh yeah,
and they're all thinking, what's wrong with his twat? All he's got is, because he's sitting there, he's got a migraine, and everyone's like, oh, who's this Burke? Someone got a migraine, why are you all freaking out? In the same scene, so there's a couple of things, because there was a bit just before that where they're like, oh, he's getting intelligent very quickly, and to demonstrate this, they just get to him literally just watching Encarta really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, they kept him in the car on the way to the cafe where he gets the headache, and he's just listening to the first 2 seconds of CDs and then changing it in a boombox.
Mm.
Yeah.
How is that inside of intelligence? It's like, listen to the whole song. You'll get more out of it.
Isn't that ADHD?
Yeah, he's got ADHD is what he's got. He goes, you know what this is? This is classical. This is rhythm and blues. And he's just like, I just get all I need from sampling. But you're not sampling. You listen to 2 seconds and turn it off.
Mm.
You're a twat.
I mean, that is me on a long car journey when I'm skipping through my phone just going, give us a better song.
Well, you must be highly intelligent.
I must be.
Well, obviously, yes. I'll vouch for that.
But we have to go. We have to go back to Death by Horny Fat Frog.
So then we get and then he takes her in, and so they fly around for a bit, and they have a bit of kissy kissy, but it's not really because they're nowhere near each other. They're on the opposite side of the warehouse, but she's getting randy, and then she gets stuck in cum.
Virtual cum, which is somehow worse. Just gets I don't like this anymore.
I'm stuck in a sticky.
And then he goes, "Well, I'll save you." And then he goes, and turns into a giant frog man.
I'm guessing they're trying to say that because he's been injected with all these aggression boosters, that's the manifestation of his innate aggression. I mean, I'm being really generous by extrapolating the work of this.
I mean, you're doing your scientist job, thank you.
Yeah, but they've made no effort to try and say that.
Mm. Because, they don't explain anything in this film. For some reason, nobody will question it. If we do a CGI frog with a rectum for a mouth, which he does have, people will just go, it's so spectacular, the technology, I'm not even going to complain about this.
No.
But she has an embolism or something.
Yeah, I should say he doesn't actually kill her, but he wipes her memory. He wipes her mind.
Oh, is that what happens?
Wipes her mind, yeah.
She's got a blank slate now, and she's been completely scrambled. But again, VR can't do this. It can't, it doesn't respond to what's going on in your brain. It's a computer program. It's basically a big screen. You just wrap around your head. Doesn't have the ability.
But Dean, aren't the modern generation that are playing games all day, aren't they just effectively zombies, though, Dean?
This brought to you by a op-ed in the Daily Mail from 1991.
I can't
answer that, but I'll need some money.
I know for a fact that when I played, I stayed up all night to complete Resident Evil 2, and in the morning I was a frog. And I tried to have sex. I tried to have sex with somebody and wipe their mind.
Yeah, I got better.
Yeah, they did get better. It's fine, and they forgot about it. So that's good. So Pierce does go to Washington to present his findings, and then he finds out that they switched the medication.
Should have noticed by now. It's different
and he
colour.
Says, he goes, "Ah, you idiot!" He's really angry, like he's just stubbed his toe. But meanwhile, Job... Oh, no, sorry. Before he does that, Job turns up at the lab and shows Pierce by lifting... He lifts a table.
Oh, yeah. He's telekinetic now as well. I'm telepathic.
Telekinetic as well.
And it, Pierce Brosnan's like... Tilda, isn't it? Pierce Brosnan's looking at it going, ah, fucking hell. And it kept to him interviewing himself in his basement.
With his top off.
That sounds like slang. And he's going, I predicted that this was going to make people telekinetic. Well, you should have mentioned it sooner, shouldn't you?
Tell you what, the monkey could have done with telekinetic powers.
Just turds floating everywhere.
But he could have got that guard's gun without attracting attention.
Just turds with the face. Didn't need it.
He could have shot Chris Rea CDs out everyone that came near him. But he says to Pierce that he will reclaim all of the lost knowledge via VR.
Well, he says to him, he goes, you know, he goes, I've just realised what we're doing isn't untapping new parts of the brain. We're awakening the most ancient. What's ancient brain parts? This is all the same age, isn't it?
People who like
it's
old
the brain
old
stem,
cars,
that's the
it?
Oldest part, but there's no such thing.
You know, have you ever been to a steam rally?
No.
You know, when everyone's got little steam train things that go up and down.
Yeah.
Or steam organs. It's that.
Is that the brain? Is it? Is
that's
the back?
Ancient knowledge. Yeah.
It's the bits of the brain that run on steam.
Yeah. And then he says to Pierce, of course, you do realise
no
that
comment.
Now.
No comment, sorry.
He says, now I am more intelligent than you. How's that? You lifted a table. Let's play chess or something.
Well, also, earlier, this isn't the first time we've seen him being psychic. He ruins that toothpaste.
Oh, right? Yes.
How clever is he that he's going, maybe do it over a sink, you know, in the cabinet? Because you're going to have to clean that out now, dipshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most dentists approve of telekinesis. Hello, I am a real dentist in an advert for toothpaste.
9 out of 10 dentists approve of mentally squeezing toothpaste in the middle of a medicine cabinet with your brain. Crest.
Brushing sketch. Home for Christmas.
Spectacular. Also, the bit when he saw he tries to read Pierce Brosnan's mind and resists him. How is he resisting? He has no capacity. He didn't even know this was a thing.
No, but he goes, I can feel you. I can feel you going in my mind. And he shuts one eye with his hand. Like, he goes, that's the way he's getting into your brain. He's not literally getting into your brain through your eye, you daft. So good thing I put my earmuffs and my Ray-Bans on. So you can't get into my brain, and I'm wearing my big pants, so you can't get in through my arsehole.
So, in Washington, he finds out what's happened, how Job's got this advance because he's got the angry meds. So, meanwhile, Job continues giving himself... I think he takes them all, doesn't he, in one go?
Yeah, he breaks in, takes them all, and starts sweating like a maniac.
And then he goes out on his revenge mission.
Yeah, then he does start looking like... He looks down and he goes, like, fucking hell, I think this might be Kay. I think
I'm... dripping sweat. Which makes a certain amount of sense in that, you know, because he's boosting his brain power, then that's a lot more energy he's using, so he would be a lot hotter. So, maybe someone thought of that.
Don't you think at some point, though, and this is a genuine brain question for you, Dean, knowing how drugs work as they do, don't you think at some point it will all wear off and he'll have an awful come down?
Yeah, if it's all one go, the boost he'll get will... Well, it'll fade eventually because drugs leave the system. So, yes, he's going to wake
vomiting,
up somewhere going, oh, shit, what did I do last night?
Oh.
Telekinetic traffic cone just hovering in his room.
Up his arse.
Up his road to hell.
Because that's what I just keep thinking. These are all, I mean, the VR thing you could argue is this next level thing, but the drugs surely wear off at some point.
Yeah, but if they're nootropic, then the effects they'll have will be more lingering because they make permanent cellular changes.
Mm. All right, fair enough.
Yep, that's why I'm here.
So, yeah, so he goes on his revenge spree. So first he goes to see the priest that's been hitting him, and he turns him into a Spectrum game.
it's woefully bad, isn't it?
Awful.
It's not just me, is it?
No.
So he sets fire to him, but it's like it's so bad CGI. It's like it's supposed to be CGI. Like he's now got power of
computers.
Mayer workstation, like early 90s CGI. It's like, oh, this is my special power, is I make people look like really crap 3D.
Yeah. He turns transparent.
He turns transparent. What it looks like. Yeah, so there's the fire around where the priest should be, but there's no priest in there. And I think it's like, oh, this looks cool. Or did you forget to shoot the plate with the priest that you were supposed to put the CGI around? And you went, ah, fuck it, they won't notice.
Has anyone seen the Roger Corman Fantastic Four film?
No, but you told me I should.
Oh, it's awful. But at the end, when the guy turns into the Human Torch, looks just like this.
Oh, God.
And that was made for about 30 quid.
Yeah, and that was never meant to be seen by anyone.
Yeah. But yeah, so he turns him into a computer Spectrum game of a fire. Then he goes to see Jake and mows his brain with a lawnmower.
CGI, just
awful CGI.
So it zooms in on Job's eyes, and he's got a CGI Job in his eyes, and he's got a lawnmower for a mouth. And we're supposed to go, oh, this film's getting good now.
He looks like the fella from RoboCop 2, doesn't he, when he's the robot?
Kane, yeah.
I have to be fair, this is when the film gets good, because it's like, oh, this was the premise of the film. Basically, he goes cyberpunk Carrie on a small town.
This is why people would believe it's a Stephen King film, but even Stephen King's like, don't you fucking dare, I didn't do this.
Yeah, no.
Mine was sensible.
Mine was about a nude man eating the lawn. Why do I have to keep saying this?
Was that Stephen King's prominent cocaine phase? Because it does seem like it's got that sort of vibe.
Yeah, it was the mid-70s.
No, it was the mid-80s because he wrote it. Every night he would write it and wake up in the morning and have no memory of doing it because he was into coke so much.
He directed the whole of Maximum Overdrive on coke.
No, he did.
I still haven't seen that. I feel like I want to watch that because there was a Yardley Smith in it.
It's got a lawnmower in it.
There is a lawnmower death in it.
That's where it was, yeah.
A man gets killed in that by a vending machine can flying out into his head and killing him.
Oh, we should do that one night.
Yeah,
you should. Watch the film, I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Not kill a man with a can.
Not after last time.
So then, he's basically given Jake a lobotomy, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
then he goes to the kids next door's dad.
Well, Dean, as we got news on this,
That's true.
If you blow a man's brain, does he get lobotomized?
Pretty much. I mean, lobotomy is severing the connections between the lobes, and if you have a lawnmower through your skull and your cerebral cortex, then that will...
What if it's a CGI lawnmower and it's in my mouth?
Mm. No, that's irrelevant.
How does one perform a lobotomy, Dean?
Do you really want to know? You get a sharpened spike, sort of ice pick, but thinner, and you push it into the orbit of your eye and just wave it back and forth and pull it out again.
I'm doing that right now, and it's not doing anything.
Yeah, it is, trust me. The tone is going to change drastically.
As it turns out, I wrote Lawnmower Man now.
So you put it in the eye?
It was done in GP surgeries. It's horrific. It was like one of the darkest chapters in medical science. The guy who rented won a Nobel Prize, which is the most damning chapter of the...
Not for that, though. He just did a really good prawn cocktail. It was unrelated. Right?
Prawn cocktail Nobel Prize, yeah.
So when was this happening? Because you said GP surgery. I thought this was medieval. Jesus Christ.
No, we're talking Victorian, 20s, 30s. I think it was ruled out in the 60s and 70s.
But they do it one throw over the cuckoo's nest, don't they?
That's electroconvulsive therapy. It doesn't weigh too much.
So do you do it, if you turn it up to full with electrotherapy, does it lobotomise you?
No, that's a different thing. It was done mostly on women because they were just being erratic and getting out of, being lippy, as they saw at the time.
Tell me about it.
But even though they suffer far less of mental health problems, they got a lot more lobotomies, which is...
I am making notes here. Sorry, go on.
I just want to make sure I heard that right. So into the 70s, GPs were putting spikes in women's eyes and saying, that's my job.
Well, okay, not too much GPs, but like the actual psychiatrists in their own offices. It was like a hospital procedure. They could actually do it
But in the assemblies, in this country, in the first world, people were spiking women in the eyes and saying, that should calm you down.
Okay, no, maybe like for like 50s and 60s, yeah. But it was really, really quite recent. It was really quite...
I never thought it was still happening in the 20th century, really.
Oh, no, that's where it ended.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant.
Well, to be fair, in the 80s, they started losing lawnmowers.
It's a lot more effective.
Got a sponsorship from John Deere. There was a really weird collaboration.
Christ alive. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. We've learned something this evening. That's why experts are on this podcast this evening.
Thank you for having me.
So then we get the abusive father of the kid next door, who is the most stupid man in the world, because he sat in his chair, a lawnmower burst through the front door. He doesn't move. Yeah. And then he stands up on a chair, just fucking go upstairs. Get in the loft.
Yeah, he's wearing the classic abusive dad slash wife beater vest, of course.
Yeah, and the baseball cap.
Shorthand for that sort of person.
Yeah, but the lawnmower comes in and starts eating the chair he's standing on. And he just stands there.
And they mention this, like, it's really hard to make a lawnmower scary, isn't it?
Really,
they are kind of dangerous, but they don't... I just don't think they have... They're just so generic machines. They're not... It's like it's being chased by a microwave or something. It doesn't work.
Basically, a microwave on a trolley is killing him. But he runs out of the house, and luckily for him, there's some steps. But unluckily for him, this means the lawnmower can fly.
No. I think it's supposed to be somehow there's a lawnmower ramp, and it flies through the air into his face.
Well, you have to have them at every public building because it's unfair.
You do, otherwise it's unfair. Otherwise,
you can't let lawnmowers in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, his job doing his telekinesis, isn't it? So he can just lift it if he wants to.
True. Yeah. Does he?
No, he doesn't.
That's the thing. He's telekinetic. He can do whatever he wants. But he's just going, I'm just going to run this lawnmower rather than just get a machine gun to fly around and shoot this prick in the face.
Yeah.
Decapitated with a Chris Rea CD. Yeah,
that'd be much better. Tell you what, though, the wife and kids get over it quick, don't they?
Well, he was a bell end, man.
They don't seem particularly fond of him.
Listen carefully. There's 2 bumper episodes coming out, but that's just the hors d'oeuvre. There's 8 more, Roger. 8 of them. People might hear them, Roger. I'm going to lie low. I think you should too.
Brian and Roger are back. 2 brand new episodes and a whole new series wherever you get your podcasts. And see Brian and Roger live at the London...
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
London Podcast Festival and the Menier Chocolate Factory in a whole new stage show. Check websites for ticket details.
The really good bit in this film, pretty much, is the police turn up, and it's that man who's in everything. Always
Troy
plays
Evans,
policeman.
He's
always
just
plays policeman.
Guy.
He's in Demolition Man as well, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. He turns up too, and he's like, "Oh, it's awful. There's been these horrible murders." Job is standing in the background when Pierce Brosnan turns up.
Nobody sees him.
Oh, we should also mention that Pierce Brosnan, in the meantime, has escaped from the shop.
Yeah,
the people who are trying to kill him.
Yeah, there's a really confusing bit because we see Job in the lab doing his shit, and then it cuts to Pierce Brosnan running down a corridor and one of the guards pops up. I thought he was in the lab because I thought that's what they're doing, but then a waiter with a bottle of champagne just walks out of the door.
Right. He's supposed to be in the hotel he's in Washington,
he's in the hotel,
but and you can tell it's a very posh hotel, but as soon as he runs out, he's clearly in a side street of the same small town in America where the rest of the film's been shot.
And they get the bit where he's trying to sneak out of the hotel and they start saying his name like in that Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Mr. Angelo, would you please report to the front desk, Mr. Angelo? And he runs off. And he knocks the guy out with a champagne bottle who's trying to kill him. And he hands the machine gun to the waiter. And the waiter's like, what shall I do? And he goes, cover him.
That's quite funny, actually. Yeah. Cover him, yeah, go on.
Mm. So, yeah, so he goes home.
That's quite good, to be honest.
He sees the death that's occurred next door to him. He asks the police, and they're like, it's been a horrible murder. And then we see Job in the background. And then he goes, still, it was all just an accident.
Yeah, because Job's doing his mind control, isn't he? That's what that is. But before then, before Job turns up, but to Troy Evans, the cop, he's suddenly going, hell of a thing. He's not talking to anyone. It's like there's no one there.
No.
So just out loud exposition for reasons.
Maybe he's playing Ghosts and Goblins in his mind.
Possibly.
Oh, classic. What an amazing reference. I haven't heard of that game in a while.
It was a sequel to
Ghouls
and Ghosts. Ghouls
and Ghosts,
yeah.
I got my Mega Drive right now, actually.
Pardon?
I got my vintage Mega Drive in the corner, like the new modern version.
Oh, nice.
And Ghosts and Goblins is on there. What's it, Ghosts and Ghosts? I can't remember. It's very good. Yeah.
It's a great game, because you get to be a little naked man for a bit.
Yeah, just in your pants.
It kind of looks like you're having a breakdown. Right? I've always thought that game is like, he gets scared so much by a ghost, he has a breakdown and starts running around in the nude. So basically he realises we can't get to Job at all because he can control minds. So Job goes to see Angela. Angela goes to see Job. Sorry, I've got the names mixed up. And then he ties Pierce Brosnan to a chair and puts a headset on him.
Very sketchy effects.
And then we get very much. He crucifies him, doesn't he? Or is that later? No, it's later.
Yeah.
Pierce gets to do his acting that he's so good at when he's in pain. Yeah.
Some of the stuff Job says, we're into the territory of 90s tech movie bingo now, because he says, I'm going to access the mainframe. Bing, like, it's the neural net. What? This is hacking.
I'm going to pizza.com. I'm going to download my milk for the day. But he says doesn't he say at this point that his birth will be signalled by every telephone on the planet ringing simultaneously?
Right, so yeah, he says I'm going to project myself into the mainframe computer, bingo. Once I've entered the neural net, bingo, my birth cry will be the sounds of every telephone in the world ringing in unison. And he goes, I've got a billion calls to make. It's like, I feel like you can just do that.
Yeah. Without, you can create a program to do that, surely.
Oh, you just like, it's just smart. He said, what's he got? I've got people to see. I've got a billion phone calls to make. It's like, oh, you just sound like a single mum, but we're all busy.
I want a scene as well where his phone rings and Homer comes out of the bath and picks it up and says, you'll have to speak it louder. I'm wearing a towel.
Ned Flanders being woke up in the middle of the night. Yeah. My mother. People are just going to put the phone down. No one's going to care.
So he leaves Pierce tied up, and then...
But just be clear, there's nothing established earlier in the film that this is anything to do. Like, at no point in the film has anyone said, oh, by the way, you can just upload yourself into a computer. This is the first we're hearing about this.
Yeah. And also, he said, like, I'm going to do all this, I'm going to run the world, and he's oh, Job, a Christ complex is the first sign of psychosis. Technically, no, it's not.
What is the first sign of psychosis?
Anything else?
Podcast.
Lobotomizing yourself on a podcast. Let's go with that.
God, imagine how many people accidentally lobotomize themselves by playing with a pencil and leaning forward by accident.
That was the Dark Knight, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was meant to be a good thing.
Oh,
ta-da.
So then the shop send a team to catch a Job, and this he projects his giant gold head.
Wait, this is a bit that he goes, oh, the chopper, yeah. He's saying this to Pierce Brosnan, I'll pull back the curtain so you can see. And then you cut to him pulling back the CGI curtain. And the shittiest van you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's a van drawn by the bloke who designed the houses from Monopoly, right? It's like a plastic bollocks. And then we cut to a real van outside, and these two guys in suits with machine guns turn up. And then the head appears.
Can you think of two worse, and I don't mean in terms of, oh God, that's terrible, in terms of how disgusting and awful it is. Can you think of two worse looking deaths you've ever seen in a film ever?
This is horrific. It's embarrassing. It's like they've got a graphics package and they are going to use it.
That is exactly what happened, by the way.
They're made of like bees.
No, I've written down... Yeah, they're pixelated, but they're not like little pixels. They're pixelated the size of Maltesers.
Mm. I've got them in the same note. Do you know those big Smarties you get now?
Giant Smarties. Or I suppose back then, a Galaxy Minstrel.
Yeah.
Sort of size. But they're still alive, even though they've been cut into bits of minstrels. Right? But
it's like something out of Tim and Eric. It's like something out of Tim and Eric.
How were they still walking around when they're bits of floating minstrels? And they're still alive. Every organ in their body has been torn asunder and they're just wandering around going, oh, this isn't good.
Well, the first guy does. He sort of eventually dissipates. And then it starts up to the second guy because Job looks at him. And then he sort of runs away whilst still disintegrating and diffracting like that. And then he pulls open his shirt and you see this swirling vortex inside of him.
What the fuck is that?
All I could think of was the early Futurama episode with the Planet Robots. They do a human thing. It's like, I will eat and digest you all in my system of mighty organs. Behold! And it opens his chest with some guts inside. There's no reason for it whatsoever.
It just feels like Len in the office, in the CGI office, has gone, now I'm not just doing Mexican tires. I'm really just doing what I want. And what do you think of this? I was going to have him open his shirt and it'd just be like a nebula in there. Yeah, that's brilliant, that is. Does it make sense in the film? Ah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah. Oh, they got the bloody chimp through, didn't they? That's what it was.
They did.
Yeah, the CGI department was all chimps and they had not been trained or made intelligent.
They've been working for a million years on a million computers and that's what they came up with.
They've been working for 6 months on 4 computers and they made this.
That's the computer version.
4 typewriters. That's a typewriter.
The computer version of it was the best of times. It was the blurst of times. That is that effect. So they're both killed somehow. And then I just got really bored, confused.
My notes here are just nothing. It's just like white noise.
Well, Job goes and gets Jeffrey Lewis to give him a lift.
But he doesn't go and get him. He psychically links to him. That's Jeffrey Lewis is sitting in his van. Oh, we should have mentioned Jeffrey Lewis has been just sitting there pissed the entire film. The other one's mowing the lawn and he's like, I'm just going to go sit in my van for a minute and do some paperwork. He's like, you're just drinking teachers, you fuck.
Get a river dance in the van tonight.
I'm just going to go and do some bigorra. I don't know what that means, right? Yeah, but he's sitting. So we cut to
Irish version is like buzzwords.
I know. I'm just bigorra, bigorra, potato, potato. Right, okay, and he goes, he's sitting in his van and he wakes up and he goes, oh, okay, Job, I'll be there in a minute. But Job's nowhere near, so what does he think is happening?
Well, yeah, but also, can't Job just like travel?
Yeah,
can't Job just chuck Jeffrey out of the van and suck the van towards himself? That seems like a bad phrase, but
it does,
Okay, before this, he said he could upload himself to the entire planetary network, so. The internet, right? That's what that is.
Yeah. What I'd have done is I'd have had a scene saying, Jeffrey Lewis said, okay, Job, I'll be there in a minute in his van. And then when he turns up at Job's, he's on his hands and knees like a horse.
In the nude.
And he has to ride Jeffrey Lewis all the way to the lab.
And if he had done that, Stephen King would be like, okay, that's from my book.
That's the only reference. I mean, you could make that stand up in court. You wrote a book about a lawnmower. Jeffrey Lewis, technically, trims lawns. He's nude. He's on his hands and knees. Have him eating some grass. Watertight case.
You, sir, have not got a legal case to stand on. I find in defence of the Lawnmower Man film.
Stephen King's like, fuck. First and
last person to say that.
Much better story. Yeah, so he goes to the lab, and then there's loads of guards with guns there, and he unleashes this apocalypse.
How does he get in the lab again?
He's outside.
But his plan is, I'm going to project myself onto the mainframe computer. He can't just turn up there and go, I'm going to project myself onto the computer. All right, hang on. I'm just going to call upstairs. Lynn, it's Lynn on reception. Jackie, there's a man here who says he wants to upload himself onto the neural net, but he hasn't got an appointment. No, I've told him we're meant to do Alan Keys and Monkey Helmets, but he's not listening. It's like, what the fuck is going on?
Ape says no.
There's a monkey under this table who's in charge of the entire building.
Jackie, I don't mean to ruin your evening, but someone's just unleashed a digital storm of weird ants and bees, and they're killing everyone.
Yeah, and Jackie's like, you think you've got problems? I've got one of those VR suits, beer, full of spunk.
It is like, say what, it's a joke, but when way before he gets there, Job mentally opens the gate. Mm-hmm. And they spend a lot of time talking about this gate, don't they? Because the bald bosses having to down all the data. A guard comes in. Yeah, one of the gates is open and it's not closed. I just thought I'd come up here and tell you that myself.
Yeah, the head of the corporation is like, well, fucking get the gate guy. Yeah.
This is not my department. Clearly.
Sorry. What are you calling me for? Call Chubb.
he's Chubb is the name of an ape, and he's having sex with it.
All right, the other Chubb. Get the Chubb the lock.
Who do you think's filming it?
Also, worth pointing out that at this point they've been in the lab and they found that Pierce is hacking them to shut them off from the outside world. And they have those computer systems, which were quite common in the films of this era, where the computer says out loud whatever you're doing, which would be
God, who's
so
doing
annoying.
These voices? These voices are so soothing.
Yeah, they're like, really sort of
mainframe downloaded.
But that would be so. It's so impractical as well, because people use computers for so many things at once. Like, you know. Opening Word, opening Google Chrome, www.pornhub.com.
Is this Clippy before it was turned into a body?
Yeah.
It seems you're opening a Microsoft Word document.
Ooh.
It's so soothing, though. It's like, looks like you're trying to fill your car with CSI. Not CSI. Looks like you're trying to fill your car with CS gas from the exhaust pipe. It's so soothing.
Do you need help?
Yeah.
he's going to the lab to obviously try and get cut off Joe. And the van outside, the guys are in, has a lot of explosives in it for reasons never explained.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah.
What did they think was going to happen? Oh, yeah, we're basically tonight's job. Yeah, it's just the blokes calling their wives. Oh, yeah, we're going to be home to late. We're going to go pick up a dunce in the transit. Right? And then you go, yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah, I have got a crit full of dynamite. Don't worry about that. Why does anyone take a crit of dynamite with them?
Also, it's like there's only two guys to bring, like, so we only need two guys for this job, but we will need a shitload of plastic explosives because.
Yeah.
Well, one of the guards is played by one of my favourite people in the film RoboCop, who's trying to negotiate with the mayor, the SWAT team, and he says, well, you know, we'll throw in a blarpunct.
I thought it looked familiar.
He's the one who shoots Jeffrey Lewis. And then.
Oh, yeah.
And then Job forces him to put the gun on him in his own mouth and shoot himself. He's like, and then, no.
And to splatter his own blood very inauthentically from his head.
Yeah. Very
it clearly comes
vibes,
up from a... From a yeah, there's clearly a runner lying down behind his bum with a syringe full of blood.
Don't get down started. Have you listened to our Owen... Owen?
Omen 3.
I'm very Welsh this evening. If you listen to our Omen 3 episode, Dan's got a whole... visual essay about how it couldn't possibly achieve,
and has since made a video about it.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah.
It just drives me up the wall. If the worst, the worst one is a bit in Goodfellas where you can see the Samuel L. Jackson gets shot in the head.
Yeah,
and you can see the blood that shoots out over the bed is actually coming from in front of Samuel L. Jackson from a little blood cannon, and that here endeth the lesson.
Yeah, here endeth the lesson. Kohai. So Jeffrey Lewis is killed. He kills the guard, and then Job gets into the lab, and he uses the equipment to enter the mainframe, and he becomes a digital being.
But he plugs himself in, and he just as soon as he plugs himself in, he deflates.
Yeah. He does deflate. Yeah,
he gets sucked into a virtual arsehole, which summarizes this film very, very well.
Now, Dean, I need to ask because I know you've written a new book, and I don't want to infringe on what you're talking about in the new book.
Please,
is this possible?
Yeah, Dean, the neuroscientist.
Yeah.
If you are on a Krypton Factor style flying machine and you upload yourself into a computer, does all the juice get sucked out of you?
Does it happen?
Does it happen, Dean?
Does it?
As a scientist, I cannot be certain, but I'll say I've never seen it. Let's go with that.
You might have been looking the other way, though.
Exactly.
I've had some juice sucked out of me, and I wasn't in a computer, but I was near one.
I mean, it does.
I'm a big fan of the Krypton Factor as well.
To be fair, it does feel like that.
There was no internet. There was not a lot of porn going on, so Krypton Factor is what you got. So.
Yeah.
Gordon Burns sucked my fluid out on the Krypton Factor.
And I did feel like I deflated.
Yeah. Yeah. And afterwards I felt quite deflated, yeah.
When he didn't call me back.
But he's left in the machine.
I've drunk an entire bottle of wine.
But the fact is, his body is just left there.
Yeah.
It looks just, it looks just like a Stretch Armstrong when you do all four arms at once.
Hilarious.
It's the funniest part of the film.
So then, meanwhile, Job's searching for an unencrypted network connection, and Pierce Brosnan thinks, well, I can't stop him, so I'm going to I'm gonna leave bombs everywhere. But then he thinks, you know what, I feel responsible, so I'm going to... He enters the virtual reality. Oh, by the way, we should mention that the kid and the woman whose husband were murdered 30 minutes ago rescue Pierce Brosnan from his chair and drive him to the lab.
Yeah.
So he gets in the virtual reality machine, and then Joe...
There's a moment where he's planting the bombs, right? Mm. And then it pans up to what they think, the filmmakers think a hard drive is, and you can hear Job in there going, ah, I can't open any of these.
I've got that same note. You can hear him inside the computer.
Bollocks, another locked one. Twats.
I have, Jesus Christ. It's just, again, imagine your computer doing that. Imagine your Word and Chrome just fucking it. Like, who are you, fucking prick? You take up all the room. It would be fun for about 5 minutes, and then...
It reminded me of when you first got a computer, or when I did, about 22 years ago. And one of the first things that I found, some of my friends said to me, you can get these packages where it installs audio clips from things you like for every possible thing. And I had a Monty Python one. And to this day, it pisses me off. Every time I got an email, it went, thung, message for you, sir. I used to hear that so much.
Okay, that sounds like it could be funny for a good 3-4 minutes.
3-4 minutes. Yeah. So if you did have a virtual Job arguing with Outlook
itself.
What do you mean you want to download an email? I'm trying to look at porn. So he goes in the virtual reality, and we meet Job now looks like a walnut whip man.
Yes,
like he's bitten by a radioactive walnut whip.
Yeah.
He looks like an X-Man. He's sort of covered in this. I mean, he looks like, considering this is only 3 years before Toy Story.
Yeah.
It looks.
I mean, they're probably making Toy Story at this point and laughing.
Yeah. It took them 10 years to make, didn't it? So.
They just nailed it. In fact, you even look at the things that Pixar were doing 10 years before this, it's way better than this. But they're like, well, you know, that's a Mexican tire company for you.
And they're people care about it. I'm sure they can do it right.
It looks dreadful. And this is the worst it looks.
I wonder if these are the people that went on to make that film, that hilariously awful film, Food Fight. Have you heard of that?
I have heard of Food Fight.
It's the one where Charlie Sheen voices an Indiana Jones dog.
Yes.
And it's about a supermarket coming to life at night.
Yeah, they're it's considered the worst animated film of all time.
Yeah,
yeah, they're trying to do a Toy Story with supermarket branded food, isn't it? Or something. Yeah, that sounds. I mean, that doesn't sound like a good premise from the start.
I mean, it looks as good as this, to be fair.
Yeah,
but it was made in the 21st century.
Oh, I think the worst one was that Rhapsody Street Kids.
I don't know that one.
Oh, I'll send you a link to it. They made basically a CGI cartoon way before the technology was up to it.
Oh.
And I'll send it to you. You know, like, what's it, the Money for Nothing video?
Oh, yeah.
Worse than that.
Oh, wow.
Oh, but at least that feels like a style choice.
Hmm. No, it wasn't for Nothing.
Yeah. This looks like Sir Billy, which is a film I'm going to get John to do at some point.
Yeah, we're going to have to do Sir Billy.
Not me. I'm not doing it. You get somebody else to do it.
All right, I'll get Brian Sewell.
This film was artistically an issue for me personally.
So Pierce Brosnan goes in the computer, and he gets crucified.
Yeah. These Christ illusions are painfully...
Oh.
You haven't a lot of any them. Of this.
Oh. So Job is Job, except they spell it different in case the audience doesn't get it. Hmm. Larry... Pierce Brosnan is called Larry Angelo.
Mm-hmm.
So it is going heavily for the Christian...
Yeah.
I say heavily, there's two references in this, yeah.
Yeah.
Although the priest beats Job, saying, "Oh, you like your namesake," but Job in the Bible was a victim. Like, he was pretty much tested by the devil, and God just let it happen. So, even biblically, that makes no sense.
I mean, at least he became an odd Job man.
He would be a bit odd after that, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
and, all those challenges.
And I bet with that lady, he got a blowjob.
Is her name Mary? That sounds like it might be right.
It's Marnie. Actually, Marnie. She,
I was terrible. Yes, yeah. It's not often my kid's name comes up, and I'm thrilled that it came up in this context.
I bet you were. So yeah, he gets crucified, and then the little kid comes into the building, and he's basically going to kill Pierce Brosnan at this point. But and he says we're going to die together, but because he's still got affection for the little kid, he allows Pierce Brosnan to leave.
And his virtual form starts feeling a bit more human, which makes it worse somehow. Mm-hmm.
Awful.
Yeah, even though they thought this is as bad as it gets. No, it's not. It's actually worse.
They start trying to give the horrendous digital thing expressions. And it reminded me, they all look like when you play GoldenEye and you meet the scientists and they all look like they've shat themselves.
That's exactly what I thought it looked
like.
Yeah, I can see that.
So he's able to escape with Peter and he jumps over a wall and he's like, it's almost like he's gone, I've made it. Okay, Peter, off you go. And it's like, let the kid go first, surely.
Well, he's going to catch him, isn't he?
We forgot the bit.
The reason the kid runs in is because the mum has fallen asleep in the van.
Why?
Because she's tired. They just drive, 10 minutes around the corner?
They've driven 10 minutes. Pierce Brosnan's got in. She goes, I think I have time for a kip. Hang on, wait a minute. Literally, the world's about to end. And you go, yeah, I want to keep your strength up. She's passed out. And that's when the kid takes the opportunity and goes, well, I'll fuck off then.
Also, when Pierce gets in, it's a classic trope that I've always found a bit annoying. When he's got this gun, which he found on the gate where the guards left, and he's like, it's a locked door, so he shoots the complex lock and that opens it. That would make it more locked. That's all that would do.
Maybe that's what the chimp did.
Possibly. Yeah.
This would be a much better film if he was constantly, you know, like Randall and Hotkirk. With Pierce Brosnan and Chimp. The Chimp's the ghost.
Chimp just guided him this entire time.
Have you tried using bananas? Not now.
Throw your shit at it.
Put a RoboCop hat on. No, it won't work.
You say that every time, only works half the time.
Grind this organ and I'll dance. That's not going to help.
I'll tell you what, though. Throwing shit got rid of your wife, all right, didn't it? they leave the building as it explodes. And as it explodes... And Job goes, yes, a back door! Yeah. And it's like, oh, God.
The climactic scene is him just trying to open locks constantly. There's nothing more than that.
The third act is boring as shit.
Absolute toss. Yeah.
A lot of it rolls on just opening locks. Like, there's that, there's the gun bit, there's... He mentally unlocks the door so he can get Peter out, whatever his name is.
I think all the people on this were so up their own arsehole about... The what they thought was really good CGI that would last for, you know, forever. And this was dated by the time it came out.
Easily, yeah.
By the next morning, I think.
Yeah, exactly. The next morning, all the renderers just going, oh, what did we do last night? Oh, my God, we got so wasted.
There's a certain trope of films, and sorry, because we're a James Bond-related podcast, but it reminds me of Thunderball in that. In Thunderball, they were like, we can do stuff underwater... Let's do 40 minutes of underwater film. And then this was like, we can do computer animation that you wouldn't believe. Let's make the whole end of the film computer animation.
But it's got the same sort of vibe and sort of approach of, like, we think we've discussed in other shows, but this era of, like, you got a lot of TV, daytime TV shows and cop shows, which, without technology's popular, let's bring it into it without understanding any of it. Because, like I say, nobody in this film knows what VR actually is, what it does, or what it's capable of. And the bit where, like, when the guy gets chased by a lawnmower, it has the vibe and the sort of production values of one of those 80s, like, keep out of electricity pylons films. It's like pretty melodramatic health and safety stuff. Don't let your lawnmower run loose in your house. All right, I won't do that.
But Angelo goes home with Peter and his mum.
Because by the way, I think the energy, he's plowing the life out of her straight away. Isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
She seems like she might be okay with it because she seems quite content.
Oh, I'm not saying it's not. Look, honestly, if Pierce Brosnan's plowing you, it's probably not.
Yeah, 90s Pierce Brosnan issue. Is not, you know, it's okay, I imagine.
And at no point have you mentioned, he has a earring in this film.
Yeah.
Which works for me, I'll be honest. He's a good looking boy.
Something to hold on to. Yeah. What are we going to do with Marnie, though? Because she's left lying on a bed as basically a vegetable.
Well, she's wandering the streets, they mentioned. She's wandering the streets.
Making and laughing, which is worse.
Yeah, she's having a great time. She's off her tits on Ket as well. She's just... she's permanently. Yeah, permanently. But she's
on a chimp's shoulders, just laughing.
Well, you would all, but anyone who's riding around a chimp is having a great afternoon. Oh,
wonderful.
She'll end up in some sort of, you know, retirement place for the mentally unsound, which is run by monks who teach you to paint, and you know, she'll meet some interesting people.
No, she won't. She'll go back to the house, she'll have a hell of a laugh at a monkey, and that's the end of it.
I'm trying to work into our first ever episode of the other one, Dan.
Oh, sorry.
You're crossing the streams again.
I'm trying to lay some stones so people can join the Patreon, Don. You might get some money out of that.
Join the Patreon, yeah. Well, why don't you join the Patreon? Yeah, so they get home, and then the phone starts ringing, and then you can hear other phones ringing, and he was right. And you know what? You know how I'm going to find out if everything worked out all right? Is if I watch Lawnmower Man 2, and I'm never going to do that.
Let's leave it question mark ambiguous.
Yeah.
The thing is, he sees his phone ring, then he hears other phones ringing, but it's his house. Those are all his phones. They would ring at the same
time. That's true.
I think,
have you been missold PPI?
It's either PPI or an elderly relative. Those are the only people phoning, or Job living in the internet.
It'd be good if he picked up and they were like, I'm so sorry, Angela, I have to tell you your mum's dead. And he goes, oh, thank God. What do you mean? I thought you were Job. Who's Job? Oh, it's a long story.
Oh, Job killed her. Oh, well. Huh. Mixed blessing.
What is...
She was found with a monkey up her arsehole.
And Chris Rea. They're all up there. Holding an Allen key. It was the weirdest day.
Chris Rea blasting in the background.
What exactly is... What's the plan for Job? He wants to take over the world, but he just says, oh, I'm just going to phone a bunch of people. And at one point he says, I'm going to cleanse humanity.
Yeah.
So is he planning on, like, cold calling everyone and saying, be nice. Okay, next.
I think this feeds very well into what you mentioned on the WhatsApp group as to whose favourite film this was.
Yes. This is a fun fact. This was David Koresh of the Waco Siege's favourite film.
Yeah. Wow. And I think that feeds very well into that. It's like, what was his plan?
Yeah, valid.
Did he download himself to a phone before the house blew up?
He wasn't trying to climb into a phone, I'll tell you that. No. He was like, God, they just find him with one leg and a handset. this was never going
to
work, boys.
You have to cord the cereal up his nose.
Also, the police wouldn't try and stop that. I'm going to climb into my phone. Oh, all right, then. Okay, you don't want to come and put an armed siege up? No, you carry on.
Actually, we would like to watch. That's
right. We're going to watch. Oh, fucking police. No, generally, you just want to watch you, mate, try and climb into a phone. That's your plan,
check. It sounds like it would be fun.
But yeah, I mean, he has no plan. But I guess you'd have to watch the second one to find out. And
he
He
does have a plan. He's just... And the filmmakers presume they haven't thought through. They've got all the way to the end of production and gone, at no point do we know what this guy's actually trying to do. All we've got is him grunting in a hard drive.
We've all done that.
I mean, there is a second one where Job is played by Matt Frewer.
I'll be honest with you, I watched the first 5 minutes of that today.
Did you?
And
it's on MGM, isn't it?
No, it's on YouTube, like this was.
Like
as
this
well.
Was, yeah, yeah.
There is nobody defending,
which does tell a lot.
No one is coming off of the copyright on this one.
I guess we're waiting for the Criterion edition before
They're bringing out a blue. They have brought a Blu-ray of Lawnmower Man.
Oh my God!
Wow!
And the rights holders. It's one of those. This is, and you can probably guess, is one of those films that has been passed from rights holder to rights holder.
Mm.
Probably every 6 or 7 weeks since 1992, right? And they're trying at the moment to turn Lawnmower Man into a TV series.
All I kept thinking.
100% going to try. If I find out who the right owners are, I'm going to call them up and say, how can I help?
All I kept thinking, genuinely, I kept thinking, give this to Blumhouse. It would be a really good film.
Yeah, because the thing is, that idea of, I don't know about how it goes along as a series, but as a film, it's a fucking solid idea. That last 40 minutes of him going on a cyber carry style revenge, that's a really fun idea. The fact that the problem with this isn't even the shit CGI or the shit dialogue or the shit acting. It's, I don't know what the point of any of this is. There's no consistency to the world. The world building is among the worst that we've ever talked about in our many shows. And And it keeps going, oh, we'll figure out another bit of science as we need it for the plot. And
I will say that if you do speak to the guys and they, you can tell them I have a neuroscientist who will fix the science for you, I will happily do that.
I'll tell you what, this is my project tomorrow now.
I'll put some wank gags in. I should read at this point. I wanted to read this out because we mentioned it briefly, but I wanted to read out the full synopsis of the Stephen King 1975 short story, The Lawnmower Man. It says it's about Harold Parkett, who hires Pastel Greenery and Outdoor Services Incorporated to cut his lawn. Parkett later spies on the serviceman, discovering his lawnmower mows the lawn by itself while he crawls after it naked, eating the grass. The serviceman is actually a satyr who worships the Greek god Pan. When Parkett tries to call the police, the mower and its owner ritually kill him as a sacrifice to Pan. Nothing like that happens in this.
Well, the dad, I guess, gets... And there's a similar... There is one joke where... it's in the panel in the short story on this where somebody says, where's the rest of the body? And the sheriff in the movie says it's in the bird feeder. So there's...
Oh, yeah.
That's an idea from the short story. But that's about it.
Well, there we go. That is Lawnmower Man.
And the credit music sounds... It sounds like someone's playing the Terminator theme tune in an elevator. So it's just got a real sort of...
I assumed it was the same guy, but it's not. And there's somebody else who should fucking sue.
Yeah. So we got to the point where I'm going to ask the quickfire questions. Now, Dan, you've had these three times.
At least.
So I'm going to give these to Dean.
Hello.
So, Dr. Dean Burnett.
Thank you, Jonathan.
What's your favourite Bond film?
It was Casino Royale, which got me back into the Bonds, because I was only dabbling out for a while. But I always, I'm a sci-fi fan, so for me, it always comes back to Moonraker. I always have a real strong soft spot for that. I know it's ridiculous, but I just remember as a kid watched it, this is brilliant. He's in space, and there's a man with metal teeth. That's what you want, isn't it?
So what's your least favourite?
A few years ago, I would have said...
Thunderball.
I'm not going to say that. I'm sorry, Dan. A few years ago, I would have said Die Another Day, because... I saw it in the cinema, and I thought, oh, God, this is ridiculous. You know, the visible car and the guy who is a Korean general who just lost 1 minute and is a knighted lord 18 months later. And the science bothered me because, like, this guy's having his whole DNA changed to disguise his identity, but he's got diamonds in his face. They can't take those out. That seems unlikely. But looking back at it now, I think it does make a bit of effort. And we saw it in the cinema. It was, like, November, and the heating failed in the cinema, the central heating, so... Towards the end of it, it got really cold, so it felt like a really immersive experience because I was in an ice palace. So that was that's a fondness for that. But since then, I have seen Spectre, which I found such a dirge of a film.
Yeah.
My least favourite part is the reveal of Blofeld, which I think I've said all this before, but do you remember Hersey, the band?
Yeah.
Hersey, the band. And they, because Kim Marsh left and they had a replacement. They had a press conference to announce a replacement, and middle of them was a. Some of the bag on their head. I said, and here you go. And I took the bag off. I think, I still don't know who this is. Really anticlimactic. And that's what that scene felt like to me. Like, it's like Hearsay's press release. And that's not really what you want in a Bond film.
That's fantastic. Also reminded me of Star Trek Into Darkness, where he said, I am Khan.
Yeah.
So?
Yeah, exactly. They don't know who that is. I don't know. In this context, no one knows who that is. Why do we care? Also, you're not, clearly. You look nothing like the original guy.
Can't be arsed, more like.
Aye.
Can you give me your best Bond mate? Sorry, can you give me your best made-up Bond film title?
I just think of all the different other Bonds, so it's just sort of a bit of a word salad in my head. So, License to Kill a Gold World Twice.
License to Kill a
Gold World Twice.
License to Kill a Gold World Twice.
Those words seem to pop up in my head when I think of Bond films.
I like that. I'd definitely go and see that, especially if it's delayed for 2 years. Bond is full of silly lady names such as Holly Goodhead, Plenty O'Toole and Penelope Smallbone. Can you give me your best Bond lady name?
Well, I think people are with the whole Spectre thing, they're trying to go back to the nostalgic stuff. And I think we've had Octopussy and no one's gone the whole cephalopod route yet, so Mandy Squidminge.
That's my favourite one I've ever heard.
I think that's the best one I've ever heard, yeah. Mandy Squidminge. And finally, who would you, Dr. Dean Burnett, have as James Bond next?
No, Weirdly, Dan, I had an idea, because I've been a big fan of this podcast for a while. I had someone in mind, and Dan's already said it, because I generally thought the idea of a black Bond would be a good move, not just for the representation, which would be great in itself, but it would sort of give the character a whole new thing, because he's always been one of the boys, one of the, you know, the establishment, go to the system, the private school lad. But if he was a black guy too, that would give everything a whole new dynamic, because he's you know, forced his way through rather than being accepted by his, you know, by Burke. Imagine like the whole Moneypenny flirting would be, she would be frowned on for that, or M's animosity would be far more loaded. And you know, I think that would be a nice album. So I thought, if you want to go, you know, the whole Roger Moore, make it a bit more fun and campy vibe, I thought John Boyega would be good for that. But then Dan mentioned, yeah, he probably doesn't ever want to be a, in a franchise again, because he's not a good experience. And I thought, I also used to think, we'll make it dark and gritty like Craig, might want to have Noel Clark. But since then, I thought, no, you know, actually, that's probably a bad idea.
I thought you meant Craig. Yeah, I think Craig Charles then.
I thought, if you know, people want to go back to the Connery, but I don't think that's what they meant. That's so, no, complete wild card, Phil Wang.
Okay.
Yay!
I think it'd be good, to be honest.
Okay. All right. Fair enough, I won't argue. There we go, ladies and gentlemen. We talked for nearly 110 minutes about Lawnmower Man.
God.
And you can make your own decision about whether we got there or not. Thank you very much, Dean.
Thank you much, John. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, John.
And we'll see you soon. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Hello, I'm Tom, and I make a podcast where I log in to celebrities' Amazon accounts. It's called...
What a brilliant idea for a pod. There's no original pods out there anymore, but this genuinely is.
Thanks, Ben Bailey-Smith. Anyway, it's called...
This is good, isn't it? It's clever, this podcast. You should do more.
Thanks, Kerry Godleyman. It's called...
This is such a great idea, by the way. What great podcast.
Shappy Corsander, you're too kind. The podcast is called...
It's biographical. You can get all sorts of information out of people. This is a very good idea.
Thank you, Nick Helm. It's called My Mate Bought a Toaster.
I'm going to listen to this podcast.
Thanks, Alex Horn. Can you tell your friends?
Great.